Can you give them an applause once again? They have been hard at work practicing all of those things. And Chadwick, go ahead and start coming up now. We have the opportunity now to celebrate what God is doing among us in our youth, just as we've been rejoicing with what God has been doing in our children. And so our youth are going to be walking us through that passage of Scripture that the children have so eloquently taken. So Chadwick, lead us off.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went out from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who is with child. In the first verse we have here, Caesar Augustus wrote a decree that all should be registered. During Caesar's reign, after he established Pax Romana, which is Latin for Roman peace, he decided that he should tax the entire Roman world, at least those parts which were under his empire. In verse 2, we see that this census was done while Quirinius was governing Syria, who likely took two terms of office. Everyone went to be registered, each to their own city. Joseph and his betrothed wife went to Bethlehem to be registered, as both Matthew and Luke wrote Jesus' genealogy, which shows Joseph and Jesus were from the line of David and went to Bethlehem as part of this official Roman decree. This is prophecy being fulfilled. In Micah we find, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And this one shall be peace." Micah 5:2-5. This is also fulfillment of the Davidic covenant, that God would establish an eternal throne and kingdom from David's line. In verse 5, we read that Joseph was with his betrothed wife. They were married, but Joseph had not gone in with her. This was also prophesied. In Isaiah, we read, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. The distance between Mary and Joseph's travel was 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem, 4 days of 8-hour movement. They did not have cars, bikes, or boots. They went on foot, wearing sandals over dirt roads. That is a long hike. They had a long hike, and yet they pressed on. Like Mary and Joseph, let's press on.
It was a cold winter night, and the streets and sidewalks were empty. The families who lived in the neighborhood were nowhere outside. Many houses were lit up inside and out. Through one of the windows, one could see a family meticulously winding the lights around their Christmas tree. In another home, branches of holly were tied to the mantle above the warm fireplace. It was not just the chill that was keeping all of these families indoors, but the preparation. These families were preparing their homes for one of the biggest holidays of the year, Christmas. The children were happily anticipating the presents they would receive, while the parents were anticipating a massive credit card bill. The word anticipate comes from the Latin anticipare, which means to take before. In English, The word means to foresee or to look forward to. Sometimes it can be hard to prepare because of little faith that something is true or will work. If one's heart is not anticipating it, it will be hard to prepare. In Luke 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, "And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn." In Luke chapter 2, verse 6, it was time for Mary to give birth. The angel of the Lord had foretold Christ's birth earlier, so she knew that it would happen. It must have been very challenging to give birth to Jesus since modern medicine had not yet been invented. There was no place left in the town inn, so her only choice was to go to the stables where the animals lived. Just like the Christmas tree is for us, the manger that Mary laid her son in was a familiar object to people in biblical times. In verse 7, the Bible mentions that Jesus was her firstborn son. In the Bible, the firstborn son received the birthright and was the most honored son. Although Jesus was born in a lowly place, his birth was important for God's plan for his children. This shows us that God is humble. God asks us to act like him to show others his love. This passage is significant because it shows us that we should follow his example to be humbler people and let others go first.
Wow, God is good, amen? Amen. When I was around 10 years old, I got to go on my very first camping trip. I had recently come back to the States and was at a missions conference. I remember being so excited to go and learn about God and experience new things. On the packing list, it consisted of things like clothes, towels, a toothbrush, but it also had things like a Bible, notebook, and pen. Now, as the 9-year-old that knew every single little thing, I thought I didn't need those things. I thought I was properly prepared. It was hard for me to prepare because I thought I knew it all already. I thought that I could remember everything I needed to know. I knew things that kids my age didn't, so unfortunately, I had assumed that I knew it all. Thankfully, my parents still sent me off with a Bible, notebook, and pen. During that week of camp, we learned about worship and how important it is in our lives. We learned about the Holy Spirit and the gifts he gives us. On the last night of camp, after taking notes and learning about how to worship and what it means, beautiful things started to happen. During worship, people from ages from 9 to 13 were seeing visions from God. People were crying and laughing. We were all so filled with the Holy Spirit. Earlier in that week, the pastor had told us that if we ask God for a spiritual gift, he will give it to us. In the middle of worship, the pastor came up and he said, "I just saw a vision. Each of you were a small glass, and Jesus had a pitcher, and he came around and he filled every single one." So then I felt God tell me to open my mouth, because earlier in the week I had asked him to give me the gift of tongues. So I opened my mouth and I started praying in tongues. And I started crying. I was thanking God. I was just like, wow, thank you so much that my parents sent me with a Bible, a notebook, and a pen. Because if I hadn't, I would not have paid enough attention to know what was going on. And if I didn't know what was going on, I would have thought that everyone was crazy in that room. The angels had visited the shepherds to bring the good news and to tell them not to be afraid. They had to tell them what was happening so that they could worship and know that they weren't crazy and just seeing things. The shepherds had to first learn in order to worship just as I did. The angels had to prepare them for what was coming so that they could come and proclaim and worship. Had the angels not come, they would have never worshiped. Had the angels not come, the shepherds wouldn't have been prepared. In order to proclaim God's word, it is essential to prepare. Do you study in his word? How can you proclaim God's word if you do not know it? If a peer comes up and asks me, says, hey, Daphne, what is God like? What's his character? And I had never read about that. I wouldn't be able to tell that person and say, God is loving. He is just. He is merciful. He is kind and he is graceful. We need to know and comprehend God's word in order to proclaim it with the angels.
Luke 2, 15 through 20, all I could think of was the weeks and days that led up to the first day of my freshman year of high school. I remember packing my lunch, packing my backpack, preparing my lunch, laying out my brand new outfit, and of course, praying to God that this new chapter of my life would fill me with new experiences, healthy friendships, and so much joy. As anxious as I was, I remember telling myself that without a doubt, God would be there for me. I knew whatever happened was a part of his beautiful plan for me, and even though it may have been terrifying, I knew it would bring me to where I needed to be. To be completely honest, as exciting as the first day of freshman year seemed, it was also quite scary. This is because I knew that after the next day, I would officially be in high school, which made me feel so old. The reason I thought of this is because, just like the shepherds, this was a time for me to prepare for a big thing in my life. One thing that amazed me for this passage is the shepherds trust the Lord so very much. In verse 15, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to heaven, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. The shepherds, already on a journey of their own, stop and obey what the Lord has told them, knowing it is him. Along with that, in verse 18, the Bible says, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. This verse stood out to me not only because of how inspiring it is, but also because it revealed to me that the shepherds must have been pretty amazed themselves, since they told so many people about the good news. Can you remember a time where someone told you life-changing news? Just think of the way that news made you feel. Maybe a little nervous, but hopefully the news made you feel excited. Now, can you imagine being the people that the shepherds told this wonderful news to? I know I would have completely freaked out if the shepherds told me that the Messiah had come. Just think about how you would have felt in that moment. In this world today, it can feel so chaotic at times. With all the tragedies that have happened, it can feel so hard to have the strength to continue living our beautiful lives that God has blessed us with. However, especially during this busy holiday season, it is extremely important to be like the shepherds and stop what we are doing to praise the Lord.
Friends, there is so much to take with us today. These young men and women have, through words and music, gifts and insight, have guided us to the manger to look on the face of the Messiah. What an incredible Christmas gift. They have shown us how to prepare this Advent. Walking with us through Luke chapter 2, they encourage us to prepare by pressing onward, rejoicing in prophecy fulfilled, to humbly love others as our Father has loved us, to ask his Holy Spirit to transform our lives, to learn how to worship, and to stop and be amazed.
So we want to pause here before we bundle up or maybe forget our jacket in the pew as we're going home. We want to take the advice of our brothers and sisters. We want to prepare. And they've shown us how little children have led us today, and not so little children. So let's move into prayer. For the next few minutes together, let's stop and be amazed.